Hi everyone, this is Dr. Andrew Leach, GP, with a special interest in paediatric health and mental health. It has been almost 2 years since I've last released an episode on the Kids Health Network, and I'm really excited to say that we're coming back with a whole new series of episodes and interviews with health professionals, parents, and anyone with an interest in the health of children. I have been busy setting up my own clinic over the last 2 years, hence why I've been a bit off record, offline, but I'm glad to be back and really looking forward to meeting some new experts and trying to provide information that's evidence-based and reputable to parents who need support. So thank you very much for tuning back in, and I look forward to introducing some new special guests.
This is the Kids Health Network, the health and psychology podcast for parents and carers of children.
The Kids Health Network is brought to you by GP and my daddy, Dr. Andrew Leach. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kids Health Network podcast, where I'm joined by Dr. Shane Langsford. Really fortunate to have Dr. Langsford with me today. He's a registered psychologist. He provides assessment for children and adults. He's also an honours, master's and doctorate examiner for the University of Western Australia. Dr. Langsford completed a PhD in educational psychology at UWA and receiving the Excellence in Postgraduate Studies in Education Award in 2000 for the best postgraduate research conducted in education in WA, which resulted in the topic of today, the Psych Profiler. During his undergraduate and graduate studies, Dr. Langsford has received the National Research Prize from the Australian Society for the Study of Intellectual Disability and the Australian Postgraduate Award from the Commonwealth Department of Employment, Education and Training. Now, this Psych Profiler is revolutionary. I use it probably every day now. I think it's a fantastic tool for screening. Thank you for joining me today, Shane.
Thanks, Andrew. Great to be here, and thank you very much for your kind words about the Psych Profiler, which I do consider to be my little baby thing, as I started it from nothing way back in the 1990s to where it is to now.
It's a really great tool. I can tell it's been refined and it's up to date. It's matching to the DSM-5, which is the latest manual of psychiatric and mental health conditions. Can you tell us a bit about what exactly is the Psych Profiler?
Well, the Psych Profiler is a reliable and valid instrument that simultaneously screens for 20 of the most common sort of paediatric, psychological and educational disorders in children, adolescents and adults. So a long way back in 1996, I think it was, an initial survey study was done to try and work out what were the most prevalent disorders that were around, and from that, the top 20 were chosen, and then the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, or also known as the DSM, which was put out by the American Psychiatric Association, which is the most widely used classification system around the world. Basically, we went to that classification system and just pulled out the core criteria for those 20 disorders, popped them into an instrument, randomised all the questions, and then created a computer program that then pulled all the relevant ones together as per each disorder and pumps out a report. So all the hard work's done by the computer program rather than the practitioner.
Yeah, and that's why I really like it. It's so simple to use. It's the questions are understandable for the parents who, you know, and it matches all different age groups, which is great. And I think when you talk about the top conditions, you know, screening for some of those really prevalent conditions that we're seeing at the moment, like ADHD, ASD, anxiety, giving some level of indication about what might be going on for the child, you know, and I know it's not the full comprehensive assessment you might do over a few hours with your pediatrician or your psychologist, but it just captures what might be going on at that present point and gives the parents some guidance on whether maybe they need further help or not. That's how I've been using it. And I find the report simple, you know, it comes out as a PDF and then I get the parents to email it to me and I've got that sort of pre heads up as to what might be going on. So, you know, useful in many different ways. Why did you create this tool? What drove you to do it?
So when you have to choose a PhD topic, you have to do something that's going to add something novel and new to the body of information that's already out there. When I was looking to see what I might try and focus on, the thing that struck me was that pretty much across the world, it was almost unanimous that there was a lot of people with disorders, even of a moderate to severe level, that weren't getting identified and weren't getting the help that they needed. And, you know, it was really quite a lot. It was, you know, most of the research studies, you know, throughout England, New Zealand, all over the world, kept on coming up with these figures of about, you know, 15 to 20% of the population has some type of disorder, you know, during the course of 1 year. But of those, only 25% of those were actually getting picked up and receiving the help. So then I delved into why was it that these people were getting missed and not getting the help that they needed. And one of the main factors was that there wasn't an instrument out there that had enough disorders to do a global screen to pick up, you know, A, the ones that are a bit more covert, and also the fact that most people, if there is disorder, they probably have more than one. So there was a lot of single diagnostic approach back, you know, especially 20, 25 years ago when I started, that, you know, the person had this and that was it. But in fact, they might have had a second or third disorder that went unnoticed. So
yeah,
then I decided, well, I need a global instrument that does that, but there really wasn't any global instruments out there that covered a sufficient variety. So unfortunately, I decided I had to make my own one, which was quite the task.
Yeah, it would have been a big project. And that's what I found is, we don't really have many great screening tools just in GP land, where, you know, we don't get access to Connor's assessments and the ones, the other more thorough assessments that paediatricians might be able to use. We don't also have much time on our hands. We get 15-minute consults. So the ability to screen for such a wide range of conditions in a short space of time is pretty limited. So, you know, I think making this a tool that GPs can use is a great idea. And, you know, as an introduction to that child's health, mental health, developmental health, it's such a great tool. So, you know, that it's been worth the investment of time. Do parents need a referral? Like, do you find that parents find their way to the psych profiler, or do they normally have someone mention it to them, like their GP or their psychologist?
Yeah, look, it's never really been marketed a lot because it's kind of just been my pet project and I'm busy running my own psych practice. So, you know, it's not well advertised. It is more of a sort of a word of mouth type thing. You do make a good point, though. I mean, initially when I started the very first version of the psych profiler, which, you know, eventually got published, I think about 2004. So one of the original versions, Acer, which is a very large publishing company over on the East Coast in Melbourne, bought the rights to publish it and distribute it and do all the rest of it. So they pushed it, but it was more of an instrument aimed at the practitioners, and that's GPs, you know, the psychologists, of course, even chiropractors and alike were using it, and the speech pathologists, because it's got language disorders in there as well. But, you know, over time, the way that I've looked at it and the objective that I'm after is, it is a screening instrument. It's not a diagnostic tool. So, you know, we're not trying to pretend that if the results come out of something, then that person definitely has this disorder. It just means that they've screened enough criteria that it warrants further investigation. So I was very keen to make it available to the general public, i.e. parents of their children, but also, you know, adults and spouses and things like that, where they can have a really cheap but comprehensive global screening instrument. And they fill it out in the comfort of their own home most of the time. And then when the results have come up in the report, if something comes up, you know, then obviously they can make the next step and go to the relevant professional. So it's really aimed largely to be the catalyst to get those people that were maybe sitting on the fence thinking, oh, you know, I'm not feeling that great. Do I have depression? Am I anxious? Am I this? To have give something objective to back it up. And, you know, it's a great day when somebody fills it out and it's what is the catalyst for them actually picking up the phone and actually ringing a professional and booking an appointment to follow it up.
Yeah, it's a really good point. That I find the more information we can get, the better. And a screening tool, you know, is the starting point of that journey of finding out more and more about what's going on. And if the outcome is, look, you know, there were a few flags there, but let's monitor, let's reassure, let's get some help from school, then that's a good outcome. It doesn't necessarily result in a referral. It doesn't necessarily result in more comprehensive testing, but being a screening tool, it just gives us prompts and ideas about what might be going on rather than, yeah, as you say, a formal diagnosis. And there is a difference there. And I know there's a huge wait list, especially in, well, it's national now, you know, for more comprehensive diagnosis of children with learning difficulties. And they can be costly, those further assessments. So, you know, this is a starting point, but it's not the finishing point. Is there an age group that you suggest using this tool with? Like, do you have a cutoff, or can it be all children?
Look, it's not just children. There is an adult version of it as well. So there's two separate but conceptually the same instruments. There's the child and adolescent sight profiler, and then there's the adult sight profiler. They're designed exactly the same, but obviously they've got different questions, and there is a slight difference in which disorders make up the most prevalent, you know, versus child versus adult. Separation anxiety disorder is in the child version, for instance, but not in the adult, and schizophrenia is in the adult, but not in the child version. So those types of pragmatic decisions were made. Probably what I'd say is, yeah, it's been used for as young as three. When it's filled out for a three-year-old, it's probably one that's just done by a parent. As they get a bit older, then, you know, at the age of 7, 6, maybe pre-primary, that type of stuff, then both the parent and the teacher instrument would be administered. And then once they get to 18, then there's the adult version, which there's a self-report for the person themselves and obviously an observer report, which is usually a parent if they're a young adult, or a partner, a spouse, someone else, just to give a second sort of objective view.
Yeah. One of the really interesting things I find is parents doing these screening tools with their child or about their child end up recognizing in their own health and mental health that they've got they're meeting criteria for certain things, and so it's good to know that they can then go on and do the test as well themselves and figure out for themselves, and we know a lot of these conditions are genetic, so it's not uncommon for a child and then their whole family to go on and get assessed. And which is a really helpful thing for families to have that done, to get managed as a group, as a family.
I hear that pretty much every day, if not every second day, when one of the parents will have a bit of a chuckle and say, gee, when I filled this out, I just thought it was about me type thing. So probably here at my practice, which is 75% children and 25% assessments of adults, I probably get about 30 to 40 parents coming back for an assessment themselves each year after we've tested the child.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Well, there you go. Really interesting. Is any of the information or the data, you know, collected for research, or, you know, has that been something that you've considered to sort of work out what are the most prevalent conditions coming out of the data, or, you know, is that a possibility in the future?
Look, the data's there. We have collected the data, you know, since the start, and we continue to do validation studies to make sure that it is, you know, reliable and valid. And obviously we need to update it every time there's a new version of the DSM that comes out. Mm. We finished a couple of studies relatively recently. It was about 2020, I think, testing to check that it was sort of a clinical calibration versus some of the well-known validated instruments like the Connors and the Beck and those types of things. And yeah, that data set that we were using was about 7,900 cases. So, we've got lots and lots of data. In terms of doing the number crunching on it, for research purposes, sometimes I think, you know what, I did enough research when I did my honours and my PhD that I'm pretty happy.
You researched out.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but, you know, I'm pretty happy just working as a clinician at the moment. But there's certainly places all around Australia and even the world that are using it and then doing, you know, studies on it. So, for instance, one paediatrician who rang me up probably about 6 months ago, he said, "Oh, do you know how I know about the site profiler?" And I said, "No." He said, "A paediatrician that I know that was working for the King of Jordan told me about it because he uses it over there and he's used it, within the family." And I said, "Oh, really?
Wow, amazing."
Well, I didn't think much of it. And then, I don't know, maybe I was bored 1 second and I typed in site profiler and Jordan and up came this research piece that had been done back in 2012 or something where they'd gone and used it for, I think, between 3,000 and 5,000 children in Jordan. So there's a whole heap of stuff out there. It's just not me that's doing it.
That's incredible. Yeah, and that's, you know, such a credit to you that this data is actually, you know, being taken so as such an important piece of work and an important data that people can see what is going on. And the reason I was asking about it is what if you've noticed any trends, and I don't know if you've looked at it, any trends during and post COVID in some of the numbers coming through around anxiety and ADHD, even whether you're seeing those sorts of screening results coming back more commonly.
Look, to be honest, I don't get to see it that much because all people have to do is log on to, you know, the website and fill it out there. The report goes back to them. It's all, you know, private and confidential, so I don't actually see who's using it or what the results are or whatever. So, I wouldn't have a chance to see what that trend is because I'm not looking at it.
And I guess that's a reassuring thing for parents is that this is them doing their own time and it's not something that goes anywhere. It's for their use only. And I guess if they can choose who they share that with, that result. But that leads on to one of my other questions is when they get that PDF report back, what would you suggest parents do with that result?
Well, look, as part of the report that comes back in the appendices, there is a report interpretation sheet, which takes whoever the reader through all of the different columns and what the scores mean and all of the information in it. So it does at least allow whoever's doing it, and if they're doing it for the first time, to understand what the results mean. But like I said, it's really aimed, especially if it's the general public that's using it and parents and, you know, adults alike, to work out whether in fact the information that they put into it comes back as saying that there might be something that needs, you know, intervention or follow-up or a formal assessment to see whether, you know, a diagnosis is made.
Yeah, and I'll put in a plug for GPs here. You know, this is something you could quite easily take to your GP, print off, take it in, say, "I've done this. This is what's come back. What do you think?" And for us, it's such a helpful thing to have that done already. You know, we've already now screened through across questions across the DSM manual, which helps us with our formulation and diagnosis and understanding of the patient, and then probably saves us a few hours of work, to be honest. So it's a great thing you can take to your GP. And the other thing is, it's only $5, and it's still $5, isn't it?
It is $5. It actually even gets cheaper for the practitioners that are using it on a regular basis, so they can actually buy bulk lots, and it gets down to as cheap as $1.75 per use if they buy, you know, the largest amount. So
Oh, wow. Okay.
It gets cheaper and cheaper, but just to follow up on what what you were just talking about, it really does sort of improve the efficiency of the process. So the child version has 126 items in it. So there's a self-report, parent report, and teacher report, all with 126 items. The adult one, the larger one, and that's about 176 items from memory. What I usually say is that by getting the person to fill that out and have the report in their hands before going and seeing the professional, I mean, really what they've done, that report is like a two-hour clinical interview that the professional didn't have to do. Then all they have to do is look at the results and follow up on the ones that they feel warrant it.
Yeah. And it's really clearly laid out once parents log in and see the result. It's not like they have to be a scientist to figure out the numbers and what it means. It's just yes or no, do they meet the screen? And then at the end, if they're interested, there's information about each of the screening sections that they met. So they can read a little bit about it. And then the GP or health professional who is interested as well might be able to read a bit about it. So, you know, it provides education as well, which is really helpful.
Sometimes I get random emails, just from parents or even teachers or practitioners saying, I just wanted to let you know that we used the psych profiler the other day and it picked up post-traumatic stress disorder in the child, and we had no idea. And then when we followed it up, we found out that there was actually an event or an incident, and, we just wanted to thank you.
How good is that? Yeah. So important. And we were talking before we started about early intervention, just getting onto things early makes such a difference. If without overdoing it and overdiagnosing, it's just important to just screen and check in. And children don't have the words necessarily to communicate that they have an issue or a problem. And so it's a lot of these observations and questions that can help us to understand what is going on for the child. And to know something so significant as that is really important.
That happens a lot with the self-report instrument. A kid is much more likely to be happy to answer questions on a piece of paper or filling it out on a computer than actually, volunteering it to an adult or an old buddy-duddy psychologist that they go and see, because we're all old in their eyes. So they're much more happy just to admit to stuff or, acknowledge stuff, if you like, than to actually verbalise it.
I agree.
Often it's a lot less intrusive. Questions coming from the practitioner.
And when we're talking about DSM, some of these questions are quite specific as well. And, I find it really hard to ask a child, are you depressed or are you anxious? Children don't understand that terminology. I think as you said, just being able to read it and understand it that way and report on a scale of how they're feeling is a much easier process.
It's something like you mentioned a bit earlier, and that is that it is a global screen that's done at the front end of any sort of investigation, and then if there's stuff that comes up, then you follow up on that. So a typical sequence might be that a psych profiler is filled out. And ADHD comes up as a positive screen, so then you move to the next stage, which is the more comprehensive behavioural assessment, such as the CONUS, and then look at what those results are. So often in school psychologists are using it in that fashion. If there is, if they're informed by a teacher that, that the teacher feels that there might be a student there that potentially could have ADHD because of these types of behaviours, often the psych profilers done at the pointy end, and if that comes out as a yes, they administer the CONUS, and if that comes out as indicating that it's a possibility, then they're sending them off for a full investigation, not just based on the teacher having said, look, I've got some concerns. There's actually some objective data to back that up, and paediatricians really love it, especially when it gets to them rather than the people just walk in and they've got to work it out from the start.
Yeah, no, and And that's right. So yeah, those parents out there that are concerned that, you know, this is a common one for us at the moment is about ADHD. It's as a good example. Maybe start with the psych profiler, get a bit of an understanding, take that in. And I find my referrals to the pediatrician are far more powerful and meaningful to the pediatrician with something like this than just a one-liner saying the teacher and parents are concerned about ADHD. And in this day and age, at the current moment in time, there is a very big wait list for pediatricians. And so we need to, you know, try and fill in some gaps and do as much as we can before the child actually gets to meet the peds. So this is a really great way to do that. I just wanted to write the website. So it is just psychprofiler.com, psychprofiler.com. I'll put it in the notes at the bottom of this podcast. I just wanted to thank you very much for your time today, Shane.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
No problem. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kids Health Network. Be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page for updates.